This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. About 9 hours from now, former President Bill Clinton's memoirs officially go on sale at bookstores around the nation. Despite a tightly enforced embargo, a few copies have managed to find their ways into the hands of the press. A few reviews of the book have already been published. If you've read the reviews or seen the 60 Minutes interview or gotten one of those much-anticipated advance copies of the book, give us a call. Our number is 800-989-8255. You can also email us, totn@npr.org. Joining us now to talk about Bill Clinton, his time at the White House, and the hullabaloo surrounding the publication of his memoirs are David Marinus, the author of First in His Class, a longtime Clinton observer. He joins us from the studios of member station WHA in Madison, Wisconsin. Hello.
Hello, Neil.
Good to have you on the program.
Thank you.
Also with us is Michael Duffy. He and Joe Klein were some of the very few journalists who interviewed Clinton for the book release. He's in the Washington Bureau. He's the Washington Bureau Chief for Time Magazine and is with us from his office in Washington. Good to have you back on the program, Michael.
Thanks, Neil. Hi, David.
Hey, Mike.
Michael Duffy, you've actually read the book, nearly 1,000 pages in all. I have to ask, how long did it take you to get through it?
Well, I think about 3 days, but I did have a whole weekend, so that helped. There lots of it I liked. Particularly the first half about Arkansas. That was, some of that stuff was rich and new and colorful to me, and I liked a lot. But it's really sort of two books. The first half and the second half really are different.
And did anything in it surprise you?
Well, not the length. and then I guess what surprised me the most is his. The second half of the book, which is really about his presidency, he takes it at about a page a week. It's almost a week-by-week diary. If it has a theme, Neil, it's that Ken Starr ruined it. Ken Starr ruined my presidency, and he was out to get me, and he and his whole right-wing cabal feathered through this book as a real effort to make it clear that there was more than just an honest investigation going on here. Clinton wants us to think that they were out to get him from the start, and he makes that clear in a fairly subtle way.
More on that in a minute, but as we continue, Michael Duffy, we've heard that President Clinton was supportive of President Bush in the administration's decision to invade Iraq.
Well, it's a nuanced position, as you might expect from Clinton. He was supportive very much after 9/11 of Bush getting much more aggressive about terror. He said we needed someone who was had a missionary zeal. And when it comes to Iraq, he says that he absolutely supported Bush's efforts to get back in the inspections game. He said we didn't know what they had after 1998. He said that the U.S. was flying blind, and he really did support Bush going back and taking a really hard look. Where he seems to draw a line is he says, I wouldn't have invaded as early or as quickly as Bush did. But Clinton left us no doubt when we interviewed him last week that he would have possibly eventually invaded just like Bush did.
Well, let's bring David Marinus in on the conversation. David, is what you're hearing the Bill Clinton you wrote about in your book?
Completely. I don't think there's any change in Bill Clinton from the early days to now. I think that the whole notion of him having sort of two lives in starting at an early age in Arkansas and carrying that into the White House is one of the dominant themes of his life. So the whole notion of loss and recovery, finding ways to get in trouble and then mm-hmm. finding his way out again and surviving.
Yeah, two seems to be a theme, two lives, two different parts of the book. And in a way, he seems to be writing about, in terms of his therapy, almost two Bill Clintons.
Well, what Michael said about the first half of the book and the second half of the book also didn't surprise me, because he's really much more comfortable dealing with the Arkansas days. And the other aspect is just the pure mechanics of writing a book. I heard from friends that he wasn't even into the White House years until March or April of this year. So, he had to just cram that baby, and cramming is another part of his life. When he was at Yale Law School, he actually wasn't even in New Haven for 3 months and came back and took his tests and did everything in 1 week. That's part of his lifestyle, too.
Well, let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. Peter's with us from Geneva, New York.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Afternoon.
This is a question regarding foreign policy. Looking back in retrospect, Bill Clinton has talked about the problems in Rwanda during his 8 years. But in this book, does he mention things, if he could change them, what he would change and what he would do over? I'll take my answer off air.
Thanks for the call, Peter. Michael Duffy, any 2020 hindsight on foreign policy?
Well, he devotes a lot of space in the presidency half to two foreign policy problems. One is making peace in the Middle East, and the second is Northern Ireland. And a reader, should he or she get his hands on this book, will learn far more about both of those processes than you could ever imagine. I mean, it is endless and interesting in a lot of ways, but vast. I think Rhonda, he moves through fairly quickly, and it repeats his feeling that the U.S. Should have done more to stop the genocide. But by the end of the book, by the time I got to page 900, I felt, particularly in the final years, he spent the last year overseas. I'd forgotten this. He had spent so much time in that final year in office overseas that I was sort of thirsty for a moment of something happening in the United States of America.
we forget there was going to be that surprise trip to North Korea that almost came off but didn't.
That's right. He mentions that too.
David Marinus, getting back to that first part of the book, what some reviewers call the interesting part of the book, his childhood in Arkansas, what is so interesting and what does the president, do you think, find so interesting about that time in his life?
Well, he had, the first thing that's interesting about it is his father's. He didn't know his natural father, who died before he was born. His stepfather was an abusive alcoholic. I mean, when you just think about those two things, you see a lot about Bill Clinton's life and the road he had to navigate. The second thing is just simply, here is a guy who came out of Hope, Arkansas, really nowhere in the United States. No one in his family had ever gone to college before. And from that, he created a life which allowed him to be president of the United States for 8 years. So that is so inherently interesting to see how he did that. Starting through the Arkansas years, you see the patterns of his success.
Michael Duffy, as you mentioned, a lot of the criticism around the book seems to be about its length and the enormous detail that it goes into on some things without necessarily illuminating them a lot. Is that accurate? Eye-crossingly dull is what the New York Times said.
Well, you know, to junkies like David and me, this is a junkie's Bible. My copy will be reviewed and marked up for years, just because this is his first take on his own performance. And I kind of think presidential memoirs are in a different category of books, especially first ones, than maybe normal books reviewed by the New York Times. They're kind of like first pancakes,
mm-hmm.
they're oftentimes a flop. This one has flaws, God knows. But this is his first attempt to put all of these great contradictions in some kind of seamless, form, which he says, see, it all makes sense. And that's really what he's trying to do here. And he's also trying to, put a different frame on his presidency, which was marred so badly by Monica Lewinsky and his relationship with her. So I don't think this is the last we're going to hear from Clinton on his presidency, much less any of the other things we talked about today. This is just the first effort. There's going to be more.
There'll be my other life?
Well, they had to rip the pages out of the typewriter or whatever it is to get them to stop, so you can be sure there'll be more.
Now, David Marinus, again, in the yes. Ken Starr yes. part of the book, Michael Duffy was mentioning earlier, the president, the former president, seems to be putting the blame. He takes responsibility, obviously, for his behavior with Monica Lewinsky. We heard some about that last night in the 60 Minutes interview, but again, he puts a lot of the blame for what happened on his enemies, particularly Ken Starr.
Well, he has done that from the beginning of this controversy as well. And the level of Bill Clinton's anger and seething at his enemies over the last several years is really quite something. And it just comes out very mildly, actually, in this book compared to the way he expresses it to his friends or the way he would really like to express it. And apparently, I haven't seen it, but I heard that he sort of goes a little bit further into that in an interview with the BBC that's mm-hmm. going to be broadcast soon. The one thing that I caught about Clinton that I thought was accurate was when he finally said that they were both right. When he was talking about Hillary and the right-wing attacks or conspiracy, the vast right-wing conspiracy, he said both were right, that he caused the problem and that they went after him. And that's been my position from the beginning. Both were true and not mutually exclusive. That Bill Clinton created his own problems, but definitely the right wing was after him. And in my own study, I found that to be true going back all the way to 1974 when he first ran for Congress up in Fayetteville. He somehow produced this incredible venom from the right wing from the very beginning.
We're speaking with David Marinus, the author of First in His Class, and Michael Duffy of Time magazine. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Michael, I have to ask you, in the interview that you and Joe Klein did for Time magazine with former President Clinton, you quote him as saying, "I hit it pretty good, didn't I?" What was he talking about?
Well, when it was kind of what David said. I asked him, I said, you say in the book, you know, Mr. Glenn, that you were seething at Ken Starr. You know, I covered him during the worst of the Whitewater years, and I had no idea. And that's when he said, "I hit it pretty good, didn't I?" He is really seething. He not only uses that word himself at what he regards as a right-wing coup attempt on him. He has a very unified field theory about this. He says, okay, even if you admit that I screwed up here and there, he said, they were trying to get me from the minute I was elected, he said to us, because the Republicans could not cope with the fact that a Democrat had taken the White House away after essentially 20 years. He thinks Carter was an aberration after Watergate, and he really was a hinge on history. And he says, from the minute he broke that down that door, they needed to come out with some way to show that, as he told me, he was a usurper. That's how they regarded him. And so he that's part of where he places himself in history, and that's what he does in this book.
Let's get some listeners in. Francine is on the line with us from Denver.
Yes, I'm disappointed that the same sort of one or two scandalous facts about Bill Clinton's presidency is being discussed by NPR. I've heard not one word about policy discussion in your review. And believe me, I live in a state where, you know, one of the Bush states, and no matter what he did, the right-wing conspiracy, which I know has become a humorous phrase, is very real. And I might say, if Kerry gets elected, the same thing will be applied to him. It's not just Bill Clinton. It's an ideology that the ends justify the means, coming from the right, not Karl Marx.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and I'd like to hear something about the book other than, you know, this sort of rather glib discussion.
Well, Michael Duffy, why don't you tell us a little bit more about what he goes into in terms of policy? For example, welfare.
Well, he says that if he had it to do all over again, he would have done welfare first and not health care, which was his sort of lead-off play in 1993. He realizes now that it was a mistake to do health care first. That was too much change, jammed down a marginally Democratic Congress. He says he would have done welfare first, and then he would have done crime. He would have left health care perhaps to a second term. His discussion of how they created or helped create an economic boom in the early 1990s, I found a little thin. He, having covered it at the time, he recounts the back and forth between his advisors about whether to worry about the bond market or not. And in the end, Clinton just says, "I decided with the bond market." But I didn't get the sense of the agonizing that was going on at the time that I remember covering about which way to go. So I found some of the policy discussions thinner. Then I found some of the things about his own personal story, which, as I'm sure David would say, have always kind of animated Clinton, you know, nearly as much as policy.
Let's get one final call in, and this is Ken, who's with us from San Diego.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have sat through the book expo, his 1 hour, and the CBS interview. The question I have basically is that how is this book going to affect the coming general election? Is it going to affect Kerry in an adverse way, or is it going to help him?
Well, we just have a few seconds left. David Marinus, is this going to block out Kerry's son, at least for a while?
I don't think so. I think it's going to block it out for 2 or 3 days. And I think that Bill Clinton actually will be a boon to John Kerry this election year in a way that he couldn't be for Al Gore.
Michael Duffy, in 30 seconds, people disagree with that analysis.
I think Clinton would definitely agree with David. He thinks he's doing Kerry's work here by pointing out the differences between Democrats and Republicans. Whether he's right, We're just going to have to find out.
Okay, thanks to you both. Michael Duffy, he and Joe Klein interviewed President Clinton for the book release for Time magazine. He's the Washington Bureau Chief for Time and joined us from his office here in Washington. Thanks, as always, Michael.
You bet.
And David Marinus is the author of First in His Class, a longtime Clinton observer. He joined us from the studios of member station WHA in Madison, Wisconsin. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Neil.
In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.